Well, I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I'd like to consider subject the principle of being balanced and plumb and true. And I desire an interest in your prayers as we think about this a little bit and trust that the Lord would open up these truths to our heart that help us apply it in our hearts and in our lives. I'd like to set a little bit of a foundation this morning, so ask that you follow along with these thoughts and that the Lord would allow the foundation to be a help to the truths that are outlined in the Word. I think about cases where people drive down the road and experience vibration in their car. Have you ever had vibration in your car when you drive? Well, it can come from a number of things. But I think about sometimes people will drive with that vibration, and the faster they go, the worse it gets. And when you face difficult environments in the road, or maybe water in the road, it makes it worse yet. Till finally one day you decide you're going to go take it in and see what's wrong. So you take your car in, and maybe the mechanic looks at it and comes back out and says, well, you've got a number of things wrong and damaged with your car that are going to need fixed. You got a ball joint that's messed up. Your tie rod's loose and it's bent and it needs replaced. And oh, by the way, your wheels are way out of balance too. That needs to be looked at as well. Well, out of balance means that there is an unequal distribution of weight. It means that there's too much or too little weight in one area of your wheel and tire assembly. And when that happens, when it's not right and it's not true and it's not balanced, when you start rotating that wheel, it's going to start vibrating. And the laws of physics say that the faster you turn it, the worse that vibration is going to be. And what happens is it starts damaging other things in your car. You allow your wheels to be out of balance and drive like that for a while, you're going to start damaging tie rods and ball joints and messing up other areas of your car that otherwise were just fine had your wheels been balanced. If you look closely, you'll find little weights attached to your wheels. They take those wheels and they put it on a balance machine and they rotate it and they find out where it's out of balance and actually attach little weights so that it will be in balance. Being in balance is important. Well, my message is not about cars today. My message isn't about wheels and tires and tie rods and ball joints. My message this morning is about life. I want to have spiritual balance in my life. If I am not spiritually balanced, if I don't find a place of balance, then what happens is that there is damage that occurs to my life that was avoidable. I find that when I approach the hard places of life that all of us are going to face, there's enough hard places in life that we're going to face as it is, much less to then approach them with a life that's out of balance. God wants us to live a life where there is the right distribution of weight, of balance in our lives. Have you ever heard somebody say, maybe you said it, I'm sure I've said it in the past, and you say something like, well, you know, so-and-so, they just not very balanced over here in this particular area of life. Their way of living is just not very balanced. And what you're really saying is that there is unnecessary circumstances in this person's life because they are just putting too much or too little emphasis in a particular area. There's just imbalance present. And they may be referring, we may be referring to a whole host of subjects. We can look out today and we can say, you know, so-and-so just doesn't seem like they're very balanced in how they eat. Just not a very balanced diet. We might look out and say, they just doesn't seem like they have a very good balance to how they allocate their time. Just not very balanced. Not very balanced on our expectations of other people. Have you ever thought that? So-and-so, they're just too hard on people. And others, you think, well, they have no sense of accountability at all. Well, there's a lot of different places that we could look at, spiritual places too. From a spiritual standpoint, we can look out and say, you know, I just think that so-and-so, the things that they allow and don't allow in their lives, just don't think it's very balanced. You ever been there before? I want to preach where we live this morning. There are also spiritual safeguards that we employ, practices that we employ or we don't employ to help us be sure that we don't cross an expectation that is clearly outlined in the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has practical application. The Word of God is not intended just to be an idea that we think about in our minds, and then we go out and we live our lives however, and then every once in a while we come back and we think about spiritual things that are in this other realm. The Word of God has practical application to how we live our lives. It has spiritual. There's spiritual application. Decisions that I make each day, the Lord wants it to be consistent with what He's outlined. And there are things all throughout the Bible that the Lord teaches us that as Christians, He wants us to live like this. And so His Holy Spirit comes, and in an endeavor to do what's right, we will draw lines in the sand, so to speak, and we will say, I recognize that if I get close to this thing, which is a temptation to me, and that if I allow it a place in my life, I'm going to cross the line that the Scripture says, thou shalt not do. And so I don't want to get close to that. And so I'm going to adopt a safeguard, a practice, if you will, to help keep me from crossing a boundary. It's where we live, right? Well, who gets to decide what's balanced? What is it that decides from a practical application on how I'm going to live and how you're going to live? We are very likely to say, regarding a whole host of topics, that I take a balanced approach. I mean, is there anybody here that would like to have the testimony to everybody else that I'm proud of being a person that is never in balance? My objective is to not have a balanced approach. Don't we endeavor to live right and good? And when we say, my approach is balanced. What we're also saying is we believe that our approach is right. That's what we endeavor to do as human beings. Most of the time, good people endeavor to do the right things. We're not out to do the wrong things. And sometimes we consider ourselves as being the ones that are normal and right, and somebody else is different. Have you ever said to yourself or to your spouse or maybe somebody else, you look at and you say, you know, so-and-so over there, you know, brother and sister so-and-so, they're just different. They're just a little bit different. You know, it'd be real interesting to be a fly on the wall and go to their house. And they're probably inside saying, you know, brother Rod over there, he's just different. He's just a little different sort of a character. Different from what, though? Oftentimes, our point of view and our point of reference is ourselves. We look at ourselves oftentimes as being the norm. We define what normal is. And I get it. I look at my own life and realize that there's places about me that is not normal compared to the majority of the population. I understand that. We don't think that we're maybe normal in every single area. But the Scripture does say that every man is right in his own eyes. And so, in general, we live our lives according to what we think is right. Don't we? We try to. I'd like to consider what's called a balance scale for a few minutes. You'll have to excuse my drawing. This is a balance scale. And maybe you used one of these in science class when you were in school. I did. And what these are is you put a standard known set of weights on one side. And lots of times in school it was usually metrics. You used grams and kilograms. You'd get a little set of weights that were a standard set of weights and measures. And it was, nobody quibbled with, if it said 10 grams on it, it was 10 grams. It was established. It was the same. It was consistent. And maybe you wanted to find out how much something weighed. And so you put maybe something in science class over here, and then this thing is going to tilt down. This is what's called a fulcrum. That's the pivot point. And then you started putting weights on this side until it's even. Until it's balanced. You remember those? I want to live a balanced life. You want to live a balanced life. And perhaps you've been taught by your parents, or we come to church, and maybe there's practices that are taught, things that have to do with practical application of how we live our lives. And I'm speaking spiritually now. We know that the Word of God teaches us to serve each other. We're supposed to serve. And the Scripture says that we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. The Scripture tells us that we're to trust in God. Tells us that we're to be meek. The Scripture teaches us that we should be modest. The Scripture teaches us that we shouldn't strive. And there's a lot of detail in the Scripture that goes around some of these base expectations. And then what we do, and you've been taught, I've been taught, we want to meet the expectations of the Lord. And so we begin to employ practices that have to do with abstaining from evil, from the appearance of evil. There's things I'm not going to do. Maybe the thing itself isn't so much wrong, but it gives the appearance of evil. And so I say, I'm not going to do items 1, 2, 3, and 4 because the scriptures say not to do this. And I want to live a life that's balanced with what the scriptures teach. And so I'm going to not do these certain things. And the scriptures teach that I'm going to trust the Lord. And so the way that that is practically employed in my life is, here's some standards, here's some lines in the sand that I'm going to draw to live according to that. And so we do those things. And the scripture teaches that we should have a meek and a quiet spirit, and we should present ourselves to the world in a modest way. And so we put some more things on this side in an endeavor to live to what the Bible teaches. You with me so far? But then we come along one day and we look at it and we say, I don't think that's balanced. I just don't think that's a balanced way to live. I don't think that it's necessary to do X, Y, and Z to meet that. Or we look at it and we say, that's not balanced. We need to be adding some more things to this to get balanced. This just isn't right. And we start adding all kinds of things on there. Until what? Sometimes until we think as individuals that we're balanced. And in the process, if we're not real careful, we're not balanced at all. Now all of a sudden we've added so much on here, we became like the Pharisees, where we start binding things on ourselves and on other people that the Lord never intended for us to bind on ourselves and other people to meet the expectations that have been outlined under the unction of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Other times we start throwing things out of our lives. We say, well, I don't think that's necessary. And we start throwing things off of the side until we start feeling comfortable in our own minds. We say, well, we're balanced. And really what we've done, not in every case, but sometimes what we've done is we put on this side those things that are comfortable to us that maybe make sense in our own minds, and then we call that balanced and in effect say that that's what's supposed to be over here too. Because that's the only way to make it balanced. But the only thing about that is that we're not the standard. I'm not the standard. My thoughts and your thoughts is not the standard. Jesus Christ is the standard. The only way for this to work in science class is to take those standard weights and measures that have been tried, true, proven, and put those over here to really understand what you have over here. Otherwise, if I just start putting, you know, stuff that I have in my backpack over here and say, well, I think this pen probably weighs about this many grams, I'll put this over here. And then start measuring things that have to do with our souls and our lives and other people's souls and other people's lives. And it's based on just my thoughts. What seems right to me can get us into trouble, folks. Jesus Christ is the standard. The scripture says in Lamentations, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Try our ways against what? Ourselves? No. Try our ways against God's standard. Against the word of the Lord. Have you ever used a plumb line? A plumb line is a string with a weight on the end of it. That's basically all a plumb line is. It's a string. If that's a wall, a plumb line is somebody hangs a string over the edge and it has a weight on the end of it. And the idea of a plumb line is that gravity is going to make this hang perfectly vertical. And so builders use a plumb line when they're building to find out whether or not the wall they just built was vertical or not. Because if you just trust your eyes and you just look at it and say, that looks about vertical, and you're a builder and you're building a building, and you say, yeah, that looks about right. Yep, it's good to go. It can look vertical, but it can be far from vertical unless you use something, a standard, that allows you to know whether or not it's really vertical or not. And in a spiritual sense, we can become blind to our own leanings that may be away from the standard of God if we don't practice comparing our lives, as Jeremiah exhorted us to do, on a frequent basis, to compare our lives back to the standard. Sometimes people can look at the past practices, and then they look at current practices, and they say, well, I'm going to take somewhere in the middle. That's balanced. Balanced is not in the middle. In between is not true balance and true vertical and right and truth. Might be a compromise between what two people think is right. But the Lord wants us to always come back to His Word. Come back to truth. Come back to right. May God help us this morning be careful that we don't just look out at the practices of other people and just go off of what other people say and just go off of what seems right unto man. But the Scripture says the end thereof are the ways of death. But that we have an interest to understand, Lord, what doth Thou require in my life? Just as a plumb line is not dependent on the convenience of the builder, the plumb line doesn't care what the builder wants to do or doesn't want to do. The plumb line is just going to show you what truth is. And just as a plumb line does not adjust to the convenience of the builder, neither does the moral law of God adjust to how it is that we want to live our lives, or what we want to impose on other people, or what we want to unload from what God would have us to carry in life. The standard of righteousness comes from God, and it doesn't come from man. God showed Amos a figurative plumb line to illustrate how far away the people of Israel had moved from Him, not from others, but from Him. And I'd like to read out of the 7th chapter of Amos and the 7th verse. It says, "Thus He showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line." The Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, which means it was a perfectly vertical and horizontal wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in His hand. So the Lord holding a plumb line in His hand, holding a plumb line in His hand. "And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel." See, the Lord was the plumb line. The Lord was going to evaluate the children of Israel not based on what they thought, not based on how they were living, not based upon perhaps practices that they had accepted for years, but the Lord was going to compare them to the plumb line of His righteousness, of His Word. And I wonder this morning what our plumb line is. What is our standard? Have you thought about it very much? Why do you live your life like you live your life? Why do you do what you do in life? These practices over here, things that we do in life in an endeavor to serve the Lord and please Him, why do you do what you do? Do you know? Do you know that we are desperate this morning for the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and our lives? We have a responsibility to spend time understanding what the Word of the Lord says. You have to do more than just come to church and hear what the preacher says. You have to do more than just try to conform your life to what the majority of people are living around you. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to talk to your heart. He wants to reveal truth to you personally. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want our spiritual relationship to be limited to relationship with just other people that love Him. Is that part of it? Absolutely. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We have roles and responsibilities that God gives us in His body for the good of those around us. And yes, God puts ministers among His people to teach and to instruct and to exhort and to warn and to cry out against some specific things that may be contrary to His Word, that He wants His minister to give warning and to say it out specifically, yes, but in the end, every one of us this morning are going to have to come to God and have a relationship with Him for ourselves. If you want to be a weak Christian, just be a conformist to what other people have to say. God wants us to have convictions. Not just any old convictions. Some people say, well, that's my conviction and I'm going to do that regardless of what anybody says because that's my conviction, as if that's the answer to it all. It's part of the answer. But what is our conviction based on? Convictions are good, but they don't help us any if our convictions are based on just what I want my convictions to be. The Lord wants us to have God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired convictions for all of the different areas that we live and how I demonstrate my trust in God. He wants me to have a conviction about that. My trust in God should go beyond just my body and what I do or don't do to help myself. God wants us to trust Him with our jobs and our families and our finances and our bodies and all areas. God wants us to trust Him. And then the things that we endeavor to do for ourselves, in the end, He wants us to say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. Lord, at the end of it all, I want You to have Your way, if that means going over the top of whatever practice I'm doing out of an honest heart. Lord, help lead and guide me in the way that You would have me to go. In all areas of our lives, Lord, help me to know how to serve others. Lord, help me to know how to be balanced in my service to other people and not neglect my own family. Lord, help me to know how to abstain from the appearance of evil without putting myself in a straitjacket and feeling in bondage so that I can't feel at liberty to do anything for fear of what everybody else is going to think. God wants us to live over here with the practices that we employ in our lives in a way that it has come from time spent in the Word of God. That's the standard. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit is the standard. It's unmovable. It doesn't change with what people think. It's not dependent on past practices and present practices and what may happen in the future. This standard is based on the unchanging Word of God. And that is where we must go, folks. Oh, let's be inspired this morning to take time in our lives to become acquainted with the true standard, with the true plumb line, with that will help us live with the right amount of distributed weight in our lives. Help us, Lord, to know what holiness means for me. Lord, help me not to bind on other people like the Pharisees, things that you never intended to bind on other people. Lord, help me to live so that I am an example that other people can follow, because the reality is that people look to other people as examples and for guidance. And in fact, God has told us to be a light to the world. Lord, help me to live so that when people follow my life, it can be a safe way to live. Not being too far to the right and not being too far to the left. Recognizing that if we were to poll everybody in here, we'd have different responses for almost every single subject out there, potentially. And yet, the Lord wants us to come back to His Word. He wants us to have His Holy Spirit living within us, where when the Lord knocks on our heart's door, we hear it because we've been listening for it. And we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord may say, Rod, you need to adjust a little bit in this area. You need to take on over here, and you need to let loose a little bit over here. You're getting out of balance, and if you're not careful, it's going to cause harm to your body. It's going to cause harm to your life. It's not going to be good for other people that are following you. May God help us take the time and have the interest and give our lives to being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of God, whom He sends to whosoever will be willing to open their heart's door and be willing to unload or take on whatever the Lord asks of us. And we say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. Say, Lord, you have free reign in my life. Lord, please show me. Lord, help me not to be deceived. Jesus told of a Pharisee who was a publican, a tax collector. He told of a Pharisee that used the tax collector as his plumb line. Remember when they went down to the synagogue to pray and the Pharisee looked over and he says, I'm glad I'm not like this man over here because he does these things. And he felt justified within himself because he thought he was pretty good compared to that man. But the publican, he compared himself to the standard of God. And he went away recognizing the great need that he had of God's mercy. And he went to his home justified. This morning, what is your plumb line that you measure your life against? God doesn't want us to go through life uncertain why we're living the way we're living. In the time that we are living in, may God help us to have deep-seated convictions that come from the Holy Spirit. People are going to change. Ideas are going to change. We live in a life, in a time where we are facing and we're going to continue to face some hard places. We need to be settled on what is right and what is true and live a balanced life according to the plumb line of the Holy Spirit, that we might be able to make it through this journey of life successfully. My message this morning is not to try to detail out every jot and tittle of how everyone is supposed to live in every area of your life. I'm unable to do that. I can't do that. I can present the Word of God by the help of the Holy Spirit. But I can't go in each one of your lives and say you need to do this, 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 and put off this, this, and this. The Lord wants us to come to Him with those things frequently, often. He wants it to be the desire of our lives every day that we would please Him, that we would accurately reflect who He is. If we try to find balance this morning by getting in a trap of always comparing ourselves to other people, we will find ourselves deceived. We will find ourselves out of balance. We will find ourselves absent of peace. Don't be afraid to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because the Lord's intent is to give us a good life. The Lord's intent is that we would be a blessed people, a people that are fulfilled in our hearts and in our lives. The Scripture says it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. And Paul also said that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to be spiritually minded this morning. Look, in closing, we're not all going to have exactly the same spiritual safeguards in every single area of our lives, because some of us have propensities that others don't have. There are some things the Lord requires of some people that He isn't going to require of other people. And we're not going to have exactly to the T every single thing in practice that looks identical to everybody else that is a child of God. However, if we, with an honest heart, completely honest with ourselves and with God, look to the Word of God as our plumb line, we spend time asking the Lord to help reveal to us how the Word of God should be applied in our lives, asking ourselves, what would Jesus do? And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be that far off on how we live in practice. We're not going to be that far off. And we'll be close enough that we will be able to go out into the world and show Jesus Christ by the conduct of our lives. This morning, I want to be balanced. I want to live right. I want to live in accordance to truth as given by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I trust this morning that the Lord will inspire these thoughts to your heart and that we would be challenged to give ourselves to understanding what doth the Word of the Lord say and inviting the Holy Spirit to live and guide us in life. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.